full forward in is about. The bomb supreme around the body. You are joking. Just like that.
The 2024 Toyota AFL Premiership season.
Brioli out of the back. Several one-way cutback. The shimmy of the shake. The shake of the make. Hit it all. Steps around the body. Two goals in this quarter. That has raised the roof. Here's the goal. Got it. Epic finish coming.
Every game, every week.
To Bailey in the pocket and kicked one of the great grand final goals.
This is the most beautiful game in the world we're watching. You just can't take your eyes off it.
Majacek in the front. Gardner knocked it away. Nick Dacos, lightning hands. Here's the Ngoi moment. He unloads. Bang! You need your stars. And Collingwood's stars just went and wrenched the cup back.
For 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. Welcome to AFL Nation.
Friday night footy brings together a couple of the Redeem teams. They experienced the horrors of gather rounds, and then Adelaide and Essendon put a couple of things right with their best performances of the season. Now the question that hovers tonight is, can they back it up? The Crows are on the board. The Bombers have found themselves in equilibrium. They meet at Adelaide Oval on what has been a lovely afternoon again in the City of Churches. Welcome to AFL Nation for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power up sale. Jared Waitley with you. Brad Johnson is back in the studio in Melbourne. Hello to you, Jono.
G'day, Jared. G'day, Bix. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Did you lose your afternoon to the Tortured Poets Department?
What do you
mean? And the arrival of the second album threw my preparation totally off. I just allowed enough time to get through the first album and correspond with Daughters. I just wondered if you'd been savouring Tay-Tay all afternoon.
Actually, I'm not sure where you're going here, Jared. Please give me a little bit more.
You are a pop culture black
hole. No, I'm not. I am, aren't I? I'm sorry. Give me a little bit more in terms of the pop culture.
Yeah, the Taylor Swift album landed at 2 o'clock today.
Did it?
Yeah, it ran for an hour and 6 minutes. And at the end of it, 18 more songs arrived, which added an hour.
Wow.
So anyway.
Okay, so I was watching the replay of the Bulldogs and from last night. It's a Gilda, Jared. So I missed that one, unfortunately. So, but it's good to know that there's another 30-odd songs that are out from Taylor Swift at the moment.
31, two-plus hours. The Alchemy. That's the one for you, Jono. That's the one for you. Only Hall of Famers need apply tonight. Games record holder at the Bulldogs. Adelaide's only premiership captain, Mark Bickley, is alongside me in the box. Hello to you, Bix.
Hello, Jared. And to you, Jono. Look, I'm a father of daughters as well. I've got three daughters. A little bit older. Sort of, so not quite in that Taylor Swift sort of phase or craze at the moment. But I did know the reference, but I'm saving that. I'll get to that. Maybe later tonight if I'm so excited after the game I can't sleep, I might go to that. That might be my go-to.
This shapes as enthralling and another high-consequence match.
It is, because I think both of these teams were teams that at the start of the year they would have had their eyes set on pushing up into the finals. They've both been building, probably Adelaide for a little bit longer than where Essendon were. Essendon, though, under Brad Scott and with a rejuvenated and sort of more purposeful pre-season. There's a lot of guys who off their own bat decided to go overseas and do a really strong preparation to try and show how serious they were. Hasn't quite been as consistent as where Essendon would like. Adelaide only found their legs last week. So it's enthralling to see two teams who haven't quite got the trust of their supporters just yet, but it's going to be an interesting night tonight.
Jono, that's the aspect, is the one special effort to set things right, but the good teams back that up week on week. And I feel like that's the parameters on which we'll judge the Crows and the Bombers tonight.
Yeah, it is, Jerry. You're spot on with the way you set it up, with what happened in gather round for these two teams and then the response last week. And it is a redemption in some ways. It gives you a chance to breathe for 24 hours before you get back into work, but it's positive work off the back of what you're able to produce, especially the Adelaide Crows and that fight back with 10 minutes to go against the Blues. What they will take from that as a team would be enormous internally, you'd think. And also for tonight, and you look at both clubs, their youngsters played well last week. The depth in their list really did stand up and perform well. And it's whether they can back that up again, because that's the biggest challenge for young players in this competition is, yeah, you might play one week and you get the plaudits and the internal recognition, but your mindset, it's a real build on your own strength of mindset to back that up again in your training, in your preparation, and not relax a little bit just because you're feeling a little bit better about yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the challenge for Adelaide. The other thing that I think gave a lot of Adelaide supporters a bit of comfort was the way they actually moved the ball. Adelaide were the highest scoring team last year. They haven't looked like moving the ball anything like 2023. But last week they took 18 marks inside forward 50. Before that they were averaging 6 or 7. So they started to get that quick ball movement going. It gets over the back. Walker gets some one-on-one opportunities. And both he and Rankin were very good.
It's going to be a full house here tonight. It's a good sign when the early arrivals are in the back rows on the far side of the oval. Our experts are for MEGT. Let MEGT help you build a winning team. Adam White's made the trip across to call alongside me. Hello to you, Whitey.
G'day, Jared. It's always great to come here to the Adelaide Oval, but particularly with two teams where you've got no idea what they're going to produce. That's exciting because I think anything is possible tonight. Adelaide can get their season rolling if they were to win at home. And Essendon, if they were to win, there'd be 4 wins, 2 losses going into Anzac Day. And that would set it up. I can't remember the last time Essendon would be 4-2 going into an Anzac Day. So great opportunity for both teams to really make a statement tonight.
We're going to touch base with both sides. Daniel Gian Siracusa is about to join us. So just in the minutes before then, Jono, particularly for the Bulldogs faithful who didn't turn up in great masses last night, but they tuned in with that sense of anxiety. It didn't last long. They put that game to bed in 20 minutes, and they put a lot of things right.
It was a surprise in some ways. I didn't expect that burst at the very beginning of that game, and it was a little bit different in the midfield, which I think helped the Bulldogs get things going their way. The introduction of Ed Richards at the first centre bounce, I think, was a little bit surprised for everybody, but I think it caught the Saints off guard a little bit as well. I liked the move because Liberatore out, left foot wrap around, and you get the left foot wrap around of Richard straight in the middle of the ground. So from a coaching point of view, I thought that was great by Brendan Laid to bring that to the table. But then also the forwards were completely on from a pressure point of view and from locking the ball into then scoring off the back of it. And conversion was king. We talk about it a lot, Jared, and we talk about the conversion and being able to nail those opportunities. You've got two sides tonight who did that last week, both Essendon and Adelaide, and look how they're able to stay in the game but separate the game. And it was the same with the Bulldogs last night.
We're going to delve further into the events of last night, what it means for the Bulldogs and what it told us about St Kilda with Brad Johnson and Mark Bickley. Let's start here inside the Essendon camp with assistant coach Daniel Gian Siracusa. Gia, great to have you on AFL Nation. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
Put a few things right last week?
Yeah, we did. The boys responded after a disappointing performance on Gather Round. So it was good to see. I heard Jono talking about accuracy. That helped. But, yeah, we played the brand of footy that we wanted to and gave our forwards access by being strong around the ball. And we need to continue that on tonight.
Yeah, so how strong is that theme, that what you got right to be able to feed that through and make it consistent?
Oh, it's always an aim, but obviously teams try to take that away from you. You delve into what happened the week before and you just try to learn from it. We're looking for consistency and, you know, we've put in another good preparation of work against the Crows. We found their mojo last week against the Carlton side as well. So we're going to have to be at our best. They changed things up from a midfield point of view with Rankin and the like going through there. So we've got to be aware of that, but also challenge them with the strengths we've got around the footy.
Gia, a couple of weeks ago, the external noise after the performance over at Gather Round, then the change of being able to do what you did against the Western Bulldogs. But during that week, does the external noise enter the internal? Do you as coaches discuss what is being thrown around on the outside, and how much of it do you take in to change performance?
Simply, Jono, no, we don't. We talk about process. We work on the mental side of our game as well as the physical side of our game. And internally, if you let that in, then you're going to ride the roller coaster. And Brad's very good at setting the agenda, not just week to week, but for the year and what we want to be about. And that was simply how we processed the Port Adelaide loss. We went through it. We learned from it. It was great that we responded. We're looking for that consistency, as I said.
Daniel, when you look at some of the stats across the year, whilst your performances haven't been super consistent, some of the numbers are tracking in the right direction. I think you're in the top four for scoring from stoppage. You've improved upon being able to restrict teams from scoring from stoppage as well. So there are some things that are tracking in the right direction. Do you feel that progression that you're making?
Yeah, I do. We're really excited about the fact that, you know, we've been able to improve areas that we set out through the pre-season. But the excitement also comes with the amount of growth that we feel we've got in this group. And again, it does come back to the consistency. We think we can match any side in the competition. It's just a matter of being able to do that for four quarters. The competition is as even as I've ever seen it. And evidence was last night. If you're off a fraction or you're on, you can really blow teams out. So, you know, that's why sticking to the process and making sure that you work on, you know, keeping everyone aligned is so important, because, you know, any given day, any opposition can beat you. So, you know, we prep really well against a team that's, you know, the Crows were fantastic last year, high-scoring team. They, as I said, they got themselves going against Carlton, and we've got to be ready for their best.
Gee, when you recruit Todd Goldstein, did you see him as a midfield coach? Did you just see him as that replacement in case Draper does get injured or was coming back from injury? Anyway, did you expect the combo to be as strong as it was in particular last week?
We probably last year, when you think about our setup, we play with two rucks, with Phillips playing for us with Drapes. Yep. Drapes is such a unique beast, and he's an explosive athlete that, you know, being a 90% full-time in the ruck type setup is probably going to be a struggle for him. So he needs that foil as well as what he can provide from a forward point of view. So Brad obviously had great insight into Goldie and what he could produce, and seen him at his best at North. And I've been really impressed with Goldie, and he's a bit played 300 games. You don't do that by accident, but he prepares as well as anyone, not only to get his body right, but to what he's going to face from an opposition point of view. And he's really combined well with Drapes. And he's also helping Nick Bryan and Vigo Vizzantini as well, who are young ruckmen. And that's essentially why we've got him here, to really show him what it takes to be an elite ruckman in the comp, as well as him playing some outstanding football for us. So we're definitely glad that he's in the red and black.
Well, it could be an advantage too. Riley O'Brien is going to do probably 90% of the ruck work. You've got Lachie Gallant, who's very much a part-time ruckman. So the two guys going in tandem against O'Brien, if you can wear him down, you might see it as an advantage come sort of later in the match.
Yeah, and that's probably what we're going into most games with, you know, different setups for different teams. But we think we can get that real advantage. As I said, Drapes is that dynamic type. Goldie grinds away, and his craft's exceptional. So if we can get an advantage in that space, you know, O'Brien's been a warrior for a long time, and he's got his strength. So we've got to try and take those away. But that'll be a pivotal point in which team gets a victory for sure.
Where do you see Nick Cox, Gia, and where do you see his best position playing, and what are the development areas that he's really trying to work on at the moment?
I think the flexibility with Cox is a real strength and an asset. You know, I think as a coaching staff, we've talked about, does he need to be settled, these sorts of things. The positive thing for us is he's getting games. So the continuity, which he hasn't had since probably after his first year, he's been a real bonus for us. And the fact that we can explore different positions with him, because he's 200 centimetres and he can run like he does, we've exposed him to defence. He can play a bit on the wing. So I think that's something the opposition have to worry about. That's probably the answer. I think it's wing sort of defence for Coxie. And that gives us flexibility from a stoppage and ground setup point of view as well. So we'll continue to evolve that with him.
Gia, you mentioned Adelaide had a bit of a different mix through the midfield last week with Soligo and Rankin, probably the two players that attended most. You threw Sam Durham through there 21 times he attended, which was the second behind Merritt. He had six clearances, which was by far and away your most effective player. You must have been wrapped with his output last week.
Yeah, he didn't play against Port too, so we got smacked around the centre bounce. So that was one of the things. He's underrated. Does. We've got really high hopes for him. He's playing some fantastic football. You know, he matched up against Bont last week and did a really good job, and obviously found the footy himself as well. So he's a great kid. He wants to learn. He's got some attributes that are quite unique. So that was probably a big part of why we played a lot better last week, and we hope he doesn't miss too many more along the journey.
Now, G, you're a good bloke in the game. You got suspended.
Thanks,
you got suspended. You got suspended a couple of times. You're a bit disappointed.
Once,
you didn't roll me
once
out to
I
try.
Got suspended.
Yeah, you did. Trying to roll me out just to say how good a bloke you are. You might have got off, G.
Well, it's been a topic of conversation, Jono. I think I was probably when I was playing the sub, so I was probably a bit frustrated, and I took it out on someone here at Adelaide Oval, and I got the wrath of the Port Adelaide supporters, so I probably deserved it. I don't think I was going to get off from a good bloke point of view, but yeah, it's an interesting one, and I'll leave that to the people at at the AFL to work through. But yeah, it was interesting during the week.
I'll write
it continues to surprise, doesn't it,
John? It does. I'll write you a reference at any time, G.
Surprises in all sorts of different ways.
Daniel, just as you are part of that sort of, well, coaching the midfield, just having so many more numbers to throw that through that part of the ground, how important is it for Essendon's development? We've seen it's not just about Darcy Parrish and Zach Merritt getting lots of the footy now. You're getting more numbers from more players. Are you really happy with where that's at the moment?
Yeah, we are. Continuity would be nice because, you know, we've seen as we said before, Sam Durham missed last week. Then we lose Archie Perkins. So it's going to be a headache for us when all those guys are available. But
yeah.
I think you've got to continue to evolve as a football club and as individuals in this game, because if you're standing still for too long, opposition teams figure you out. And those guys that we've mentioned, they're the future of our footy club. And the great thing is, our captain leads by example with regards to what we ask him to do from a role point of view. And he's been a mainstay of the midfield for a very long time, but he's quite selfless in the way he goes about trying to give those guys space to improve their games and play the role that we ask of him as a coaching group. And that's something that we just continue to praise internally. And he's doing so much more than just being probably our best player and performing every week, because he's giving those guys space to grow, and that's going to hold us in really good stead for the future.
Oh, it's spot on. He's an absolute star, G. He's great to watch as well. From an opposition point of view tonight, you're going through the game strategy throughout the week. What are you looking to control in this game, especially early on?
Well, I think it's going to be around the contest and, you know, the ability to make sure that the guys like Rankin and Rochelle don't get up and about. One, because they're very good players and they can impact the game, but two, what they do to the crowd here. So if we can stifle that, and that's about winning the contest, getting the ball in our half and trapping it there, so we really stifle that and give our forwards the best chance. They can move the ball quickly, so that'll help that, but we've got to be right on edge with our defence to be really tight, otherwise they can open you up and get you out the back. So that's probably the main thing that we're focusing on and trying to take away from the Crows.
When you look at Adelaide, though I'm sure you have really closely, the losses they've had, it's been through great pressure around the footy, and they've ended up blasting it long, and Tom Stewart got hold of them with their holding of intercept marks, Luke Ryan a bit the same. And they're not a super contested marking side inside forward 50 or down the line. So that pressure that you talked about around the contest is just so important tonight against Adelaide.
Yeah, and it is every week. The pressure, and to be able to make those entries forced through pressure is really important. As we saw last week, they did start to get up and going through the corridor especially, and that brings Tex into the game, and from sort of 40 to 60 he's deadly. So, and it's because he hits up at the footy, and there's a number of players that do that. So again, it's a real responsibility of that midfield to, if we can't win those clearances and the contest, whether it be from long kicks, we've got to make sure that the possessions they win are pressured to give our backs a chance. Otherwise, it's a challenge, not only against the Crows, but every week. So we're looking to do that again tonight.
Gia, just as we let you go, is when the opposition got hold of you in the midfield and was coming out the front, what was the dynamic like in the coach's box? Were you getting the death stare from a couple of seats over?
Yeah, it's not the greatest position to be in, Jared. But, you know, to be honest, Brad's very calm and composed, and we've got a checklist of what we go through, and you know, it's easy from level two because you give them, try to give them solutions, but it's always a challenge when you've got Rosie and Butters and these types running amok. So you know, again, like I said before, every opportunity or loss like we had is one for us to learn, and we went about that, and we did had a really good result against the Bulldogs. So yeah, it's a bit squirmy in there when that happens, and you try to fix it and give the players solutions, but you try to rectify. It's easier said than done, though.
Good on you. You're due at a meeting. Appreciate your time. Good luck.
No worries, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Daniel Jan, Syracuse, from inside the Essendon coaching ranks. I can imagine that would have been it would have been hot at stages in that box during that performance. And then to go and set things right with a really distinct midfield plan, you redeemed on a whole lot of fronts.
I got that sense last night with Ross Lyon. Whilst he was quite calm on the exterior, I just wouldn't have wanted to be in his eyesight or his line of vision at different stages last night when it was just going wrong in the first half. 11 goals down at halftime, or 10 goals. It was quite a remarkable result.
It is. That's fascinating, isn't it, Jerry? Because you look at even Zach Merritt, I think, would come to the bench and jump on the phone to Gia and go, "What do you got for me, Gia? Like, what are we fixing here?" So thinking on your feet and taking that next step from assistant to senior is critical, and it's all part of that development, because you're the one trying to fix the problems that are occurring instantly on the field.
The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply. So let's just stay with Essendon for a few minutes, because Nathan Van Berlo is going to join us from the Crows. We can switch our focus there. So Durham does his bit. Caldwell does his bit. They were set distinct tasks, and then they thrived. They not only quelled, but they thrived in that very modern midfield way. I wonder, Jono, what does it look like the week after? So the same figures aren't there, Bontempelli and Liberatore. Are some players better with a defined focus than they are freewheeling? Or, it's a little bit of a glimpse into the psyche of a player, I suppose.
No, absolutely. I think they are. As a young player trying to find where you sit in this competition and develop, then I haven't got one issue whatsoever with the way they set up last week. Put them on the best players for the Bulldogs and see how you handle yourself. They're going to put you around the contest. You're not going to win every ball, but it's how you fight and scrap and then try and get your own ball going the other way. I remember the first 9 games I played, Jared, were on Peter Matera, Craig Bradley, Brett Allison, Shane Crawford. So all of a sudden, you're playing on these Nathan Buckley, you're playing on these superstars in the competition that actually you've got that endeavour to try and beat them, but they're actually teaching you while you're playing as well. And then as a player, you step up from that, because your research becomes a little bit deeper, your understanding of your opposition and how to exploit them becomes deeper and deeper the more you play on these stars in the competition. And that's what we'll get from both youngsters in the midfield tonight from both teams, but in particular the Essendon players you're talking about. Caldwell had a good game against the Bont, yes, but now he has to step up again. And although the level of player mightn't be as strong as what Marcus Bontempelli is, his research or desire or exploitation of his opposition player has to be at a premium level once again.
And this is where Adelaide are a little bit interesting, because Rankin was fantastic last week. Hasn't spent a whole lot of time in the middle. And I look at Isaac Rankin play. He's playing on autopilot. He's instinctive. It's not like like you talk about Bontempelli and some of these other guys. They've got really clear in their head whether they're trying to own a position on the ground or protect the drop zone or whatever it is. They're using their strengths. They've done it 1,000 times. I feel like Isaac Rankin's going in there and he's saying, "Oh, I'll just go get the footy wherever it goes." And he didn't have a whole lot of clearances himself, but what he did was he was that first receive player, and he's got that turn of speed. And a couple of times they came out of the front, and then particularly at Marvel, you're putting it in the goal square, and that's why it's so dangerous. And Essendon got burnt here with Rosie and Butters coming out of the front of the contest. The centre square has never been more important, and the players now that are so dominant are the ones that have that burst of power that can speed out of a contest. And that's why Adelaide were forced to make a change. Crouch, Laird and Dawson just didn't offer that. They've changed. They made a couple of changes. Saligo is somewhere in the middle, and Rankin is very much on that sort of explosive side.
Cozzy Pickett makes you nervous at Melbourne, doesn't he? And that's exactly what Isaac Rankin does. Even Rochelli in some ways, because you know how dangerous he can be if he gets the ball, 60, 70 out and can use it well going inside forward 50 as well. But Isaac Rankin, he's the one. And that's why I like it, Bix, because you're right. Laird, Dawson, they offer the same thing week in, week out. They're good players, and they'll turn up every time and represent at the highest level for the jumper. But ultimately, if you get that little spark in there, someone that can make you really nervous as an opposition player, then that just changes your psyche a little bit as well. Your positioning has to change up a little bit. You're not hitting it to the dangerous spots. You put more on your ruckman to control the centre bounce versus what the oppo can do as well.
A pair of Hall of Famers are our experts tonight, Brad Johnson and Mark Bickley. We're going to touch base with the Crows and get their side of the equation next. This is the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont's massive bathroomware sale is on right now. It's Adelaide and Essendon from Adelaide Oval. Friday night footy from Adelaide Oval. It's the Crows and the Bombers after the Bulldogs thrashed the Saints to start an intriguing round six last night. AFL Nation is for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power, power up, sale now on. Gerard Waitley, Adam White, Mark Bickley and Brad Johnson with you through the pre-match. We will have Nathan Van Berlo with us very shortly to join us from the coach's outfit at the Crows. Bix, what difference did it make in the town to get the Crows on the board after the despondency that set in after the Friday night of Gather Round?
Well, it probably just I gave everyone a little bit of confidence, but it just released the pressure valve on Adelaide. What happens when there's high expectations of playing finals this year and you don't meet that with a 0-4 start? Everything gets questioned. You know, from the coach being reappointed to the list management to the draft picks of recent times that perhaps haven't turned out as well as they should have. And then what happens is you have one good game and all of a sudden Isaac Rankin's a genius. And, you know, him going into the midfield solves the midfield problem that a week ago was terminal. So it does turn around reasonably quickly. And I think that's what the staff at the Adelaide Footy Club have been saying, the coaching staff in particular, that they had seen the improvement, but they just needed to show it more consistently. So that was the challenge, and they rose to it.
Bix, what are you seeing from the skipper then? Because his possession numbers in his first three games were okay. Actually, his second game was 26 disposals, 12 tackles. Just on paper, you go, it's not too bad. I know last week was a little bit down in numbers, but what are you seeing from the skipper? Why is he being questioned? Is it purely the oppo just understanding the way he's playing better now, second year in the midfield?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One is that point you raise about the way he's going about it, and he's that sort of first receive player again, where you've got Crouch and Laird who win prolific amounts of stoppage and clearances and get first possession, and he's generally been the guy they offload it to. And the other thing they recognise is he's the most dangerous by foot. Yeah, delivering inside forward 50 last year, I think he's in the top four players in the competition. So Laird and Crouch, not so much. You know, they don't have quite the penetration. They don't use their legs and run and carry the ball like Dawson does. So I know Geelong, for example, put Mark Blitzarves on him, bigger body, putting pressure on him, keeping him off balance, not giving him the ball. And I think up until last week's game, his kick rating was way down. He was 360th in the competition after being in the top 10 the year before. So that pressure, I think, is sides recognising he's one of the linchpins to Adelaide, the way he uses the ball, particularly going inside forward 50, and they've just put a bit more work in. So I wouldn't be surprised with Soligo coming into the middle. You've also got Rankin and some of those other players getting an opportunity there. Berry's another one who was the sub last week who replaced Matt Crouch through the middle of the ground. I wouldn't be surprised if they reverted back to having Dawson across half back. He's such a key ball user for Adelaide. They want to use the corridor, and he's one guy who can pull the trigger on that.
All right, I'm just peering through the binoculars and seeing Nathan Van Berlo has put the headsets on with us. I'll give you away from the box. Welcome to AFL Nation. Nathan, great to have you with us.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We were just discussing, what difference does a win make to actually get on the board and maybe free you up to get on with your work?
Yeah, it does. It provides a fair bit of relief, to be honest. We didn't feel like we were that far off, albeit we're playing some pretty ugly footy at times. But in terms of our system, it was a couple of minor tweaks that we thought we needed to do to I guess, get ourselves back on track. And that was mainly based around our connection and forward half work, you know, connecting inside 50 in particular. And we were a lot sharper in that space last week and kicked straight off the back of it. So it's amazing how far that goes in your game.
Has it made a material difference to the week that you've experienced to set up for tonight?
Not entirely, Jared. It's sort of, I mean, the group's been really upbeat and optimistic for the last, you know, month prior as well. Obviously been really disappointed and frustrated, but hasn't changed their mood. And we try and do that from week to week anyway, to be honest. Whether we win, lose or draw, try and keep it pretty well balanced throughout the week so that we don't ride the highs and lows, because it's pretty easy to do that in South Australia. They're very, I guess, patriotic about their footy, and we just try and keep it pretty level regardless of winning or losing.
VB, I thought the other area that you improved in last week, some of your defenders, they just were able to drop off a bit better, intercept mark a bit better, help out their teammates, and that creates intercepts, it creates turnovers, and that gives you access to the corridor. The previous weeks, you hadn't had those good turnovers, which meant there was a lot of slow ball movement and teams were able to defend the corridor a bit easier.
Yeah, Bix, it was a big focus, you know, for the last few weeks, but particularly last week with Kerno and Mackay. And I thought, you know, young backs stood up really well in that area, particularly after it looked like, you know, Mackay in particular was going to really stretch us after a couple of early contested marks. But, you know, looking out on the field at the moment, Josh Worrell was fantastic last week with the way he was able to support his teammates. So it won't be any different tonight. And, you know, there's a right balance between when you go, when you don't go. But I think all the best defensive teams in the comp find a way to support each other. So hopefully we can get that balance right tonight.
Nath, what was it in the last 8 minutes of the game last week that just really impressed you as a coach?
Oh, look, you know, it was pretty obvious in the sense that we, you know, statistically as well in the last 15 minutes, we turned the game in terms of contest, getting the game in our front half and hitting the scoreboard. So, I mean, we've shown in the last quarter we've been able to do that pretty much all season. Too little, too late on a few too many occasions, unfortunately. But last weekend, look, the boys raised the fight, and thankfully we're able to get the result on our terms in that last minute and a half. And what was really pleasing too is we got into a stage where it was obviously tight. We hit the lead and we had to roll out some scenario plays that we've worked our way through, and the boys held strong and executed that really well. So we came away with a well-deserved 4 points at the end of it.
Did you? Were you able to sort of nominate, I suppose, and that might be the right word, but nominate a player or a moment that changed the fortunes to get the game back on your terms last week?
Oh, there were some pretty special moments. I mean, Mark Keane had a couple where he was able to equalise behind the play when Charlie Kerno pushed forward, and that became a real critical contest for us just to lock the ball in our front half, and we score off the back of it. He also had a critical moment late where he marked that last ball inside 50.
Yep.
Guys like Isaac Rankin and Jake Saligo, just, you know, special talents they are. When they get their hands in the footy, they're able to either get the ball forward or just be really clean in those critical moments. So that was singling out a few, but, you know, more strategically, we nailed what we're out to do.
VB, I thought it was telling. Sam Berry kicks a goal, you hit the front, there's 90 seconds to go, you go back to the centre square. It was Berry, Saligo and Rankin, three, you know, relatively inexperienced players. So it showed me that you guys have now got the confidence to go with those young players. It would have been easy to put Laird, Crouch and Dawson in there and say, you know, make sure we don't get beaten in this stoppage. But you were happy and comfortable enough to back those young men in.
Yeah, absolutely, Bix. I should have thrown Sam Berry into that mix too. He had a phenomenal last quarter last week. And look, those three guys in particular, you know, they're relatively new and fresh to the midfield mix, but they put in a lot of work with their centre bounce in particular over the last, you know, 12, 18 months. And they do their study and their homework throughout the week, and they're not going to get any better if they don't get those opportunities in those critical moments. And I remember Jake had one last year against Hawthorn in Tasmania where him and Josh Rochelle were in the centre bounce. And I won't lie, I was a bit nervous, but they executed really well. And you know, they had that moment last weekend where those three you mentioned, they got it right, you know, the game goes our way. So you've got to put yourself in those situations and back them in, and they do the work, so there's no reason why we shouldn't back them in.
And Nathan, it mightn't be this week with Crouch out of the team, but in your thinking now as the season will go on, does that change your thinking for Dawson's positioning now, whether it is off half-back? Laird's the same, who can go back and clean up quite well also with the new generation of potential midfielders for the team.
Yeah, I think that'll ebb and flow throughout the season depending on, you know, the sort of mix we've got in the team. And you mentioned Crouch is out tonight, so Sam Berry will spend a lot more time in and around the footy, and he, you know, continue on his great form from last week. But I guess depending on I guess where the game's at, what we're needing out of our mix will determine what we look like. But we're pretty fortunate that guys that go through there with Rankin, Saligo, Dawson, to name a few, can play multiple positions. We know Letty has played behind the ball and done that really well in the past as well. So, yeah, different stages. Guys will play different roles. And if guys are lighting it up around the footy, we'd like to try and keep them there.
Darcy Fogarty was interesting last week. Still just battling away in terms of didn't quite return to form like Taylor Walker and others did last week. What can you do to assist him? Is it giving him some better looks at the ball? He just looks like he got his hands to a couple last week, just lacking a little bit of confidence. How have you seen him?
Yeah, look, Bix, I didn't think he was far off, and I reckon the last few weeks he hasn't been far off. And when I say that, I mean he's been getting hands to footies that he would ordinarily mark, and he's been getting enough looks that suggests he can have the impact on the game. So, you know, we'll keep trying to work ways where we can get him more of the footy and bring him into the game. But I guess pleasingly what he has been doing has been at least winning or halving most of the contests that he's involved in, which gives our smalls a chance at ground level. So that's the biggest thing we ask of our talls, and Fogg's been doing that really well. And I'm sure those opportunities, those half chances that he has had in the last few weeks, he'll make count, and hopefully that kicks off tonight.
Nathan, down the other end of the ground, speaking of keys, you lose one tonight in Jordan Butts. But in some ways, how do you see the matchups? Because they don't have that, with Peter Wright being out, that 200-centimetre athletic, powerful player like you experienced last week. So in some ways, your matchups should remain relatively calm in the box.
Easier said than done. I'll speed you after the game and see how calm that goes. But obviously they play the two rucks, so it's going to be a different mix, and they may be pretty tall with that look in particular. But a lot of their forwards love the lead up play. I'm sure the backs have done a lot of homework, or I know they have throughout the week. So again, they're going to rely on a lot of heat up the ground from our mids, and making sure that we can. If they're going to win some footy, it's going to be some dirty ball going inside 50 and that lead-up play that they love to get. You talk about Stringer, Langford, these sorts of guys that they don't get the game on their terms. So they'll have their work cut out again, but hopefully, as we spoke about earlier, they can come off and support each other at the right times and make it a tough evening for them.
VB, with Jordan Butts not playing, Dan Curtin, who was Adelaide's top pick at pick number 6, he's one of only two of the top 10 who haven't debuted this year. Was he discussed? Was he close to perhaps coming in front of James Borlase?
Oh, look, we've been wrapped with what Dan's been able to produce throughout pre-season, and he's learning to apply his craft at SNFL level. His first game a couple of weekends ago and went really strongly, and I know he's got a big challenge this weekend against some Glenelg key forwards who are going to really show where he's at. But we've been really pleased with his development and knowing that his opportunity won't be that far away, and Crows fans will be really excited about what they see when he does get that chance.
Nathan, great to have you with us. Good luck for tonight.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Nathan Van Berlo from the Adelaide coaching staff joins us down on the boundary. Our major partner is Repco Authorised Service. You can rely on local Repco Authorised Service Centre. Just, is there a buzz around Curtin at all, or is there just a little bit of...
I think there's a little bit of impatience. Everyone, you know, he's 197 centimetres. He's actually one of the few draftees that you look at them and you see a big strapping, you know, an 85-kilo, 197-centimetre guy. He looks ready to play. But I think there's a little bit of hesitancy of not to rush him straight in. There's maybe a little bit of hesitancy on the back of Fisher McAsey, who was a number 6 pick also a couple of years back, who they rushed straight in. He just lost all his confidence and just sort of lost his desire to play footy. So I think they're really keen for him to have a bit more experience, a bit more of a measured build-up, and then the opportunities will come, as you heard Nathan say.
I think if Jamara Ugahagan here, Bix, to be honest with you, and that's Bevo held him back and held him back for similar reasons to what you're talking about there. And when he was exposed at AFL level, he was more confident and ready to hold his spot in the lineup. And look at the fruits of that now in his development and where he's at in his career. So, and I'm sure he was frustrated in the early parts of his career, seeing, you know, the players that he was drafted around all getting senior games at other clubs, and you're the one still battling in the twos to knock that door down. But the pay, and I know it's hard, and the media as well will pump up the fact of what this young man is doing. But in some ways, the patience could pay off in such a more rewarding fashion down the track.
All right, so we've touched base with both camps. We're just waiting to see the final teams for tonight. They're through. No late change. Lockie Scholl is the sub for the Crows, and Elijah Sattas is the sub for the Bombers. We'll delve into the issues of the weekend, to the events of last night, the analysis of the Bulldogs' thrashing of the Saints. What did it tell us about the trajectories and the fortunes of those two teams? Our travel partner is Melbourne Airport Parking. Nothing beats parking at Melbourne Airport. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. The AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont's Bathroom Wear Sale.
So I'd like to think that's not us. And our trend, if I look at with the group for 27 games, well, 23, 24, 30 games. So, I mean, we haven't had one performance like that, to be honest. I think our worst might have been over in Adelaide or I think Gold Coast, and both of them we still sort of fought on. So, look, we were a little bit worried coming here. The demands of the game, and I don't want to use excuses, but I certainly come here, I was cautious and I flagged, even in a pre-game interview, that it's our second four-day prep.
Ross Lyon said there was a real sullen mood around the Saints camp, and then the coach put a bit of context around an abrupt performance. Brad Johnson, I feel like we saw that the week before Melbourne's performance against the Lions, which was a bit physically startling, and then we saw it again last night. So we'll talk a bit more about the Bulldogs shortly. But from a St Kilda side of things, are you prepared to grant them maybe one mulligan on that, or was that exposing in the what they don't have?
Well, what they don't have is the ability to score, and I know that's part of Ross Lyon and the way that he sets them up. So, yes, I understand that, but at what stage does he need to adjust their ball movement / transition to be able to hit the scoreboard more regularly? Throughout the season so far, they've gone, their points four have been 68, then they got to 94 against Collingwood. That's the level you got to try and get to, 90 to 100 plus. Then they went 67 versus Essendon, 67 versus Richmond for a win, and then 79 against GWS, lost that game. And then last night they get themselves to 64 with a reasonable last quarter where they kick five. So their scoring's been down all year, regardless of this performance last night. So the Bulldogs come out and go whack, and then they don't have the scoring ability or transition ability to bridge a gap that is created in the game. They just seem to me like they're chasing all the time, chasing to stay in it, and then a burst to potentially either win the game or pinch a game or secure it late. And that's, I'm not sure whether that change needs to be adjusted from a St Kilda point of view. Because defensively, yes, they're usually very good at what they can do to restrict the opposition. I know that was their biggest blowout in some time last night. And I look back to the early stages when Ross first had this club in 08, 09 and 10 when they were flying, Jared and Bixon. They were scoring 100, 120 points regularly. I know their forward line was a little bit different with Riedewald down there, but that was a game style where they'd score heavily and restrict. Now it's restrict and not score in his second tenure back at the Saints. And where the game is going, and the best teams in the competition at the moment can score quite heavily on you very quickly.
Yeah, I thought the injury to King and him not playing, that impacted them much more than Hugo Hagen missing for the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs were still had lots of options up forward. You just feel a little bit like Membry is just undersized as that key guy, and I know they had others up there. They just weren't able to, I guess, have that confidence to move the ball quickly and then bang it in long, knowing that there was someone there that's going to take a contested mark. Last night, Liam Jones, just fantastic.
We'll pick this up in a moment's time. Adam White, it is time for the Points Bet Update.
A Points Bet Update. Points Bet's AFL experience with video previews, bet tracker, and last five stats. Points Bet, built different. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Thank you, Jared. Adelaide come up $1.45, Essendon $2.75 at Points Bet. Jules Valance joins us. The home ground advantage, how much is that impacting the odds tonight, Jules?
Yeah, g'day, Adam. Look, it's huge, to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, they've been $1.50 into $1.45 Adelaide, and they really have been below market expectations in those first three games. They've got a little bit better against Melbourne at home, still losing, and then, again, exceeded expectations by beating Carlton last week. But I think if this game's at Marvel, clearly Essendon's favourite. And I think if it's at a neutral ground, if we're playing this in Mars, it's probably $1.90 each or two. So I think for the people at home, you've got to understand that the modelling that's now factored into the winning probability of these teams is heavily skewed towards the home ground advantage of Adelaide. And hence why I think you're seeing a pretty short quote for the Adelaide Crows.
Yes, the line currently at 14.5, and Essendon have won the last six against the Crows. What about the Bombers? Do you think they're exceeding expectations to this point in the season?
I think no doubt they are. I think they're quite maligned from a public point of view. Now, I know they get beaten by Sydney by 30 points, but the line there was 32.5, 33.5. So they're close to that. They get absolutely blown out of the water by Port Adelaide. But outside of that, they're actually exceeding the market expectations. They're a team that I think, again, the market hasn't been able to cotton onto yet. And that's probably because they're up and down like they are in this season. But they're a team that I think clearly, at their best, can really give this a shake. So I'm surprised at what the market is not. The market just hasn't been able to find them this year.
All right. What about the Crows? The big win over the Blues last week. Are you prepared to trust them just yet?
Oh, I don't think we are at PointsBet, to be honest. And I know they're short and I know they've been really well supported and they're at home. But those first three games were really poor. Again, at home, the market spat them out against Melbourne. They started $2.50, $2.60. They were given, you know, an only 35% chance of winning at home. And then they beat Carlton. Yeah, well done. But now we're trusting them to be able to back it up again. The positive they've got is that we know Essendon defensively leaked some goals. So I think if you're looking at a total point over and under, you'd think if Essendon are to win, they're going to have to really kick a lot of points and a lot of goals to actually get over the top of Adelaide. Mackay's doing a really good job defensively, but is that letting the smaller guys of Adelaide off the chain, like the Rankins and the Rochelles? They might be the guys you might need to be looking at for goal scorers tonight.
Jules, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Whitey.
Jules Valance there from PointsBet. PointsBet now with AFL Bet Tracker, built different. Back to you, Jared.
Adelaide Oval, the Adelaide Crows and Essendon. The teams are as selected. Lachie Scholl is the sub for the Crows and Elijah Sattas is the sub for the Bombers. We are seeing Essendon go through their warm-ups now and the Crows will be out on the field shortly. Jono's full analysis of the Bulldogs. Coming next, the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low-priced tiles from 1995. Adelaide Oval, Friday night footy, the Adelaide Crows and Essendon. The round got off to a really rollicking start from a Bulldogs perspective last night as they belted St Kilda. That game was over in the first quarter. 7-1 to a goal at quarter time. It's a 60-point margin at the close. It felt like it was going to be bigger than that. The Bulldogs, 19 goals, 10, 124, defeated St Kilda, 9, 10, 64. So after the week of intense scrutiny around the Bulldogs, the response could not have been more emphatic. Here was Luke Beveridge, the Dogs coach, in the aftermath.
So I've been impressed with St Kilda's tenacity and their work ethic and their willingness to compete and keep coming. And so even though we had a bit of a margin, you're never really comfortable. So when the Saints scored, just to be able to, you know, keep that buffer, was important for us. And yeah, it's probably mainly just the spread. I mean, I know there were some players who were quite outstanding and will get the accolades, but there were a number who were sort of in between and playing important sort of counter-defensive roles that that helped others. So it's encouraging.
You're on AFL Nation for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power up sale now on. It was encouraging, Jono, after a really worrying performance the week before. If you were to nail down a few things, there were some things that were just right last night, including Bailey Dale, ball in his hand off halfback. Aaron Norton out of the square looked like the threat that Aaron Norton should be on the big contract. What caught your eye around what the Bulldogs altered and got big returns from?
Well, we understand the talent that's out there from a Western Bulldogs perspective, but if they're not willing to work and really gut run and put that effort in, then they're not going to succeed. And that was evident the week before, Jared, against the Bombers. They were smashed in that area of the ground. Essendon completely outworked them, and they adjusted that straight away. Their midfield group was more dominant, more powerful in terms of their ability to run contest to contest, and they're able to set that up because they've got the talent there. And when the midfield set the tone, the others can start to set up around it. So Bailey Dale all of a sudden is really involved in the game because the mids are getting the ball forward. He can set up a little bit higher up the ground to play a more attacking game off halfback. Same with Jason Johannesson, who I thought was excellent. And that allows Liam Jones to set up and Buku Kamis behind the ball to intercept. So the midfield and the way they worked and responded on their effort the week before, I think was the biggest tick for me, because then it just led to, you know, more uncontested possessions, which the Bulldogs like to do, get that run from behind and generate that. And 72 tackles on Marvel. That was the other positive as well, I think, from a Bulldogs perspective. Not only were they winning the game quite comfortably, but kept the pressure on and the heat around St Kilda to keep it nice and tight and close at different aspects of the game as well.
I think the other thing that
really pleased me and would have pleased Bulldogs supporters was, if you said before the game, Tom Liberatore is not playing, we watched him have 19 possessions out here on Gather Round, Marcus Bontempelli just before halftime was going at 17% disposal efficiency by foot and was uncharacteristic with some of his decision-making and disposal, but they were still just getting it done. So you just feel like, you know, in my mind, there was a little bit of, well, if Bontempelli and Liberatore don't light it up in the middle, it's hard for the Bulldogs. But that was dispelled a little bit for me last night.
McRae had to stand up, and he did. And it was his time too. And he just had to really will a performance out that he did. He had his metres gained, I think, up over around 400 metres, which is rare for McRae. Normally, it's sort of back into the side and not generating too much going forward. But he had to really dig in, I think, and lead that midfield and support Bontempelli in that, and he did that. So now his season starts to sort of build a little bit off the back of that. And the senior players that have been under question over the last few weeks, Dale was included in that, being subbed out. All of a sudden, they are now in a better mindset of how they will perform. And once they hold form, those type of players, it can get form. They can hold it for some time. Now the pressure goes back. Garcia comes in, has an impact, plays more midfield time, which I really liked as well, Jaron and Bix, because normally Garcia would come in, play high half forward, can't get a spot in the midfield because of the other players that they've got in there. But they threw him in there for some serious minutes, and he performed quite well, because that's where he plays at VFL level, and he has 38 to 40 every week playing around the footy. So he had his opportunities. And now it goes to Caleb Daniel in the twos and a couple of others to really now step up, get their seasons going, to have a chance to play senior footy again, effective senior footy.
Jono, they shot the lights out with this shot kicking.
Who's in charge there?
The conversion is king. We've seen it throughout this year. And it's not only the Dogs were on fire last night. Yes, everyone admits that in terms of their conversion, Jared. I must admit, I was sitting back, you know, just really enjoying what was put on display, especially from Aaron Norton, who I'm really proud of Norts, because and all of them, to be honest, because they put the work in. You put the work in, you get the reward, and I'm massive on that. And they've done that. Aaron Norton looks really calm when he's having his set shot now. He looks really controlled with that as well, and that was evident last night. The spark of Waitman early, even the Bont, who has put in a truckload of work over the summer as well, kicks his three. I know he missed a couple on the run, which we might have to go to work on some general play goals, not set shots. But outside of that, it's reward for effort off what was a poor week. So they've been able to grind and put some more work in this week. Lucas Herbert jumped in and had a chat to the guys as well, which is a little bit of a point of difference for the boys to listen to. And I think that had a really positive effect on them and where they see themselves from a conversion point of view.
John, I'm really interested to know what Lucas spoke to them about, because you were 17-6 at three-quarter time and ended up being 19-10, and the week before 9-13, which really hurt you, I think. I think it was an understated part of that game against the Bombers, your goal-kicking. What did Lucas speak to them about? He's a big Dogs man himself.
I just got to clear up that in that last quarter, the five behinds or four behinds were all rushed, Whitey, so they don't count. So, no, I know they weren't. But, no, see, from... So, I know, as you know Lucas well enough too, Whitey, and I've known Lucas for some time, and seeing his development from a young man in golf turn to professional and then take that next step to winning on the world stage to becoming a reasonably consistent performer on the world stage has been enormous. And he's had to adjust his game along the way and take aspects of his game extremely serious. And his analytics and knowledge around the way he sees his game and where he needs to land on the green, where he's best on the green, where he sits from 120 out, 140 out, 180 out, off the tee, all these things that he takes now and dives really deep from an analytics point of view, I think helps, because if he, you know, gets within 12 feet, he knows he has to nail those ones. But if he just misses from outside that, then he doesn't lose confidence on it either, because he knows where that sits statistically for him and his game. And I think that's where another level of seriousness that the players can take from, yeah, you might look or skim over the analytics of where you're having your shots from, but the importance of really diving a little bit deeper into that, I think, is quite important also.
So Jared, Lucas travels a lot of the year with an actual mind coach. to help him with what Jono's talking about, where a lot of them will have swing coaches and physiotherapy therapists and all that sort of thing. He's really big, Lucas, on that mind part of the game, where when he's lining up for putts, he's expecting to make them from 10 to 12 feet, whereas a lot of professional golfers are hoping they go in, and a lot of it is due to the mind coach work that he's done over a long period of time.
I had a chat with Darren Cahill, who is, of course, a hugely successful coach. Of course, he was a semi-finalist in a Grand Slam back when he played, and he was the director of Port Adelaide up until recently, and he spoke about tennis and the mindset in tennis, you know, having to, you know, go to the second serve often and still having to have heat on the second serve and, you know, the consequence if you miss that. He just talked about footballers compared to tennis players, untapped, the mental aspect of it. He said so many other sports, including tennis, put so much more time and energy into that mindset and that mental rehearsal compared to football. Now, I know he was trying to sort of increase that at Port Adelaide. So there are other sports that are, you know, obviously a little bit ahead in that regard. But Adelaide, for example, I know, have just employed a full-time sports psychologist who's there every second of the day. Like most of the, I think every club forever and a day has had people they've been able to call on, but now they've got someone who's in every meeting at every stage and every turn for the players to be able to access.
And that's the, and I certainly agree with that, because, you know, like I went and watched Cole play last year, and I showed the Dogs players this in the early stages of the preseason, where Chris Martin's up on stage and he made a mistake in front of, you know, 90,000 people at Optus Stadium. And you know what? He just got on with it. And, you know, that's the biggest stage of all, isn't it? You know, singing to and putting a concert on in front of 90,000 people in front of a packed stadium, and the players are the same. They just got to get, you got to build the processes and the confidence and understand the routine and all those things to minimise the disasters. But also, if you just miss, it's okay. Just get on with it. Don't let that affect your entire performance or the team's performance for the remainder of the game. And that probably crept in a little bit for the Bulldogs against the Bombers last week, with Jamara missing the couple and Darcy missing his, Riley West missing an easy one in front of goal. That crept in. So it's going to happen because they're still developing as a complete group. But over the season, over the 5 weeks, it's been four good ones, one poor. So they're starting to really develop as a group and take ownership themselves, which has been pleasing.
So back on the overall, Jono, and then the Bulldogs were exposed to the full catastrophization during the week. How much of what we saw last night was the response game, the 1 week rectification when it's your turn in the microscope? And how much of what you saw do you think can be the bedrock for a rise from here?
Yeah, there's still the question mark, I think, Jared, because yes, it has been a fluctuation throughout the entire season. They've had two really poor performances, a couple of a decent one against the Cats, which was a loss in Gather Round. That was top level football. Everyone walked away from that game thinking both teams just had an absolute cracker that night, and it went Geelong's way in the end. And then they've had a couple of strong wins as well. So there's just too many fluctuations, I think, in the season so far for the Bulldogs. So the next couple of weeks tell a big tale. Going to WA to play Fremantle, yes, that's a huge task and one where they just, like the Cats game, turn up to play and perform, and they'll be right in that contest. And then they go and play the Hawks after that. So the next 2 weeks in this 3 week block, if they could leave 2-1, I think that's a good step forward for the Bulldogs in this season so far.
All right. Get your tribunal records ready. We'll just see if anyone here qualifies for the good bloke clause next. This is the AFL Nation pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low prices. Tiles from 1995.
When you go to the tribunal, you use everything at your disposal to try and free up your player, which every club does. And if a bloke's got a good record, he's played 200 games and he's never been suspended for a match, you would at least give that a mention, I think. Otherwise, you'd be remiss in your duty to that player. So it was mentioned. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the main reason why the charge was downgraded to low impact. I think if you look at that incident and you look at Lever, we're talking about impact here. So for me, impact is impact. So was Jake Lever hurt? No, he wasn't. Did he go off for a concussion test? No, he didn't. Was there a medical report from the Melbourne Football Club about his condition? No, there wasn't. So on every measure, that the impact of that incident was low. But yeah, they talked about it was at the low end of medium impact. Well, I'm arguing to you that it was low impact.
Low end of medium is still medium.
Mate, interview the tribunal. Don't interview me. I didn't make the decision, okay?
It's actually quite a good idea. It's quite a good idea.
Should have thought of that.
Welcome back to AFL Nation for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and Repco authorised server. So you have to put your credentials on the table to participate in this conversation. Jack Revolt tried this the other night. He thought he'd been fined three times. He'd been fined 13 times and paid $15,000. So don't try to slip anything past us here. The ultimate good guy, Brad Johnson. Where were you in the scheme of things?
Wow. I've been fined a little bit. Don't worry about that. There's a few fines that sit there from a couple of malaise. One I didn't mean to start, Jared. It escalated very quickly when I thought it was Lenny Hayes. I was bumping. It was Aaron Hamill, and he went nuts. And that was game on, unfortunately. And I did get suspended a couple of times as well.
You did.
Yes, I got done for striking and for stomping, which I hate saying. I hate saying it. Because all I did, Bix, was on your teammate's little toe, Brett Burton, I may have trod on it throughout time at Adelaide Oval. But anyway, that's where I sit. I should have...
All right, no good guy clause for you, Jono.
Couldn't believe that.
No good guy's clause for you. What about you, Bix?
Well, I was a villain. I was reported twice. Once early on... it might have been with one of your teammates. Was it Nigel Kellett, I think?
Oh, yes.
The Bulldogs.
Yep. That's early days.
For a high tackle in 1992. And then in 2002, a decade later, of course, I was suspended for 5 matches for cleaning up Darryl Wakeland, which isn't very nice. And it's always difficult when he comes into the commentary box alongside of us and works with SEN. But that was a rather inglorious moment for me.
Jared, is there a way that we can revisit these now? That there's a good bloke scenario that's playing out. Is there a way we can revisit to have our records just absolutely wiped?
So I haven't done the background work on this yet, Jono, because you've just raised it. But do we need to go back and examine Chris Grant's record to that moment in time and see if he was through 200 games and whether, there's a whole Brownlow at stake here.
Yes. I like where you're going here.
Yes. Anyway, it's so ridiculous,
isn't Johnny, it?
That's sort of the point of the conversation, is just to illustrate how ridiculous a position we have been put in and that we will reside in for the rest of the year.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And look, you don't blame, and I agree with Chris Fagan, you throw everything up. And, they used Eddie Betts to put a character reference up, and his standing in the game is top shelf. So I get where they went in trying to minimise the outcome here for Charlie Cameron and get him to play. And that worked for them. But do we agree with it? Of course not. The action was I thought, no good whatsoever. It could, the potential to cause serious injury was extremely high in this scenario for me. And he was lucky that it didn't do any damage to Jake Lever. So it was still medium impact. Medium impact is a suspension as far as I'm aware. And the AFL did give him that suspension. So they made the right call, I think, Jared.
And the tribunal ratified medium impact.
Yes.
And then reduced it.
How?
With the exceptional and compelling circumstances. And this is where it's just too esoteric. Is Charlie Cameron's off-field work is absolutely outstanding and profound in the community. But it doesn't change the impact of a dangerous tackle from medium to low. That is too abstract to be allowed to sit in the system.
And particularly when concussion is the game's greatest challenge. And last year, 30 players were concussed being tackled. So the AFL clearly made some rulings and put some guidelines in place that says we have got to tackle this. And on the day that Nathan Murphy is retiring with a brain injury, we've got the chairman of the tribunal saying, well, he's a good bloke. We'll look past this one. And it's quite comical. And the other thing that's interesting as well, it's not like Charlie's never been reported before. He's been cited 5 times. So you could argue there's a cumulative effect that should suggest that maybe he should be in line for a suspension because you keep going back to the well.
Yeah. So, and this is when it looks one way on paper, but then when you clip up the 5 fines that he's had, like, he's long overdue for a suspension. He's got... these aren't malaise or trippings. These are 3 rough conducts, which are high bumps. These are 2 strikes way off the ball, and then a dangerous tackle. So if you actually did the work properly, There's no way known he would have got off under a good guy calls a clean record.
So, Jared, why are they so far apart?
Carryover points.
Yeah.
Why are they so far apart, Jared, from the AFL? Because the AFL, they've made some mistakes this year. And they need to clean up a little bit themselves. But they got this one, I thought, right for where it sits in the table.
So it was a rogue ruling that got bedazzled in the same way that Bashir Hooley's case got bedazzled by character evidence from the from the Prime Minister 7 years ago. And they lost sight of what had happened. But the AFL stepped in and corrected that. They went to appeal. And they really should have just stepped in and corrected it. This can happen from time to time. What felt like a good idea in the room simply doesn't wash. It doesn't wash with the laws of the game. It doesn't wash with the direction. It doesn't wash with the people or the participants. I'm yet to hear one person across involved in footy make the case as to why this is a good idea. And now, unfortunately, it leaves a loophole. There are 35 players who have crossed the 200-game threshold and have not been suspended. And if any of them go up for the remainder of the year, and any of them do any work in the community whatsoever, and they do, we know that.
Yep.
These are the most exemplary figures in the game. We have a right to expect that player would be cleared of would be fined rather than suspended if it fell into the same sort of category. But we will be wretchedly unsure whether that will happen or not.
And the doomsday scenario is something like Scott Pendlebury does something out of character in the last minor round game before a final. And even though he was somewhat lucky, a lot of people think, to be not suspended after striking Lachie Neale, he would qualify more than anyone. He's played double the amount of games that Charlie Cameron's played, hasn't been suspended, so he would quite rightly go up there, and it could impact on a whole final series.
So, Jerry, quickly, can it change in season?
No.
AFL can't do anything now.
No, the AFL had to appeal and just get it struck out and just go, no, we're not going to accept that. It's not anything against anyone, either the player or the chairman, but we're just not going to have that sit there for the rest of the year. Jono, who wins tonight?
I think the Adelaide Crows win at home tonight. I think off the back of what they produced last week, and look, it is tight. Yes, both teams played well, but I think the Adelaide Crows at home, I think their skipper will be in for an absolute ripper tonight. We'll use the ball effectively, Bix, and have a big one for the Crows.
All right, Romper, have a good night.
Thank you. Enjoy, guys. Have a great call.
We'll think of Jono completely differently now that he's confessed to that. The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply. The preview coming up with Mark Bickley next. The Crows and the Bombers. AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low-price tiles from 1995.